Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ron Valant. He's a candidate for the People's Party of Canada. He's here to talk about UNDRIP. You can follow Ron on Twitter at Ron Valant. Ron, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a very important subject we have.
Ron, can you tell us where you're running and how your campaign's going?
All right. I'm running in Calgary, southeast Calgary. The riding is Shepherd. And the campaign, I've been putting up signs all over the area and just going to get my flyer all ready to go. That is going to be a bombshell. That's going to talk about the loss of our freedoms and land. And, still in the early stages, but it's a very short election this cycle, this one.
What is UNDRIP Bill C-15 and why should we be worried about it?
All right. UNDRIP is the United Nations. You got the UN there. And the DRIP part is Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People. So this is a worldwide thing that they've created. It's a document that is very small, actually. I could write it in an afternoon. That's how long it is. But it's taken the experts on this Indigenous affairs 25 years to create this document. I call it a UN kill shot to our nation. But so the issue here is UNDRIP is being released into Canada as the basis of law. And so Bill C-15 was something that was put into motion here at the end of 2020, I noticed that they did they put it into their throne speech. It was a one-liner, and no media at all even mentioned it at all or covered it. I have a YouTube channel, by the way, that is very cutting-edge, and I caught that, and it's called The Throne Speech. It's under my name, so Ron Valant, V-A-I-L-L-A-N-T. Just do a search for that and look for the throne speech video. You start at 2 minutes for a surprise and go to three and continue on. But there's interesting things in there that you'll see what's going on. But I noticed that, and then I raised the alarm, and then people worked with me, and then it was introduced, and then we started working with the standing committee a little bit and whatnot, trying to stop it. I ended up creating a letter outlining the problems with UNDRIP, And then it got sent to all of the MPs and senators before the votes. Now here's the thing. Okay, so all people have to do to verify what I'm saying is go look up Bill C-15. It'll be the first reading. And you go there, you look at number 5. That's the thrust of the bill. And basically it's saying that all Canadian law has to be in accordance with this declaration. And the declaration is UNDRIP itself. And UNDRIP is also posted below the bill. The bill's very short. And then there's the 46 articles of UNDRIP. And really, each article is very short, like paragraphs or less. And number 26, like when I ran the last federal election in 2019 for the People's Party of Canada, I did so because it was the most important election of our lifetimes. But there I learned about this whole issue of UNDRIP in northern BC. And so this is way ahead of the curve. And then I made a video on that information that was given to me, and I think I broke the story in Canada about the issues, the negative issues about UNDRIP, because if there was anything before that, it was always, rainbows and lollipops, right? But number 26, if you read it, it says that the Indigenous have the right to the lands, territories, and resources to which they've ever owned, occupied, or used. And so if they can say that they've used it, then they can claim rights to it. And Now, what had happened, actually, was after the election in 2019, in October there, 21st, John Horgan and his crew in B.C., they went ahead and adopted UNDRIP. Now, this was all going on behind the scenes. This is the thing about it. All of this stuff is underneath the surface. The average person has no clue what's going on, and then all of a sudden it's brought forward, and still people don't know. But that was brought forward quietly, and so it's been, you know, 3 years that this thing has been going on, and I am told from sources that 95% of B.C. has been claimed. The Crown land is about to be announced to be given to various different bands, and to prove that, just do a search for Campbell River Mirror, UNDRIP, UNDRIP, and then you'll find an article there with a lawyer representing the different bands stating that BC is going to be in a shock when the Crown land is going to have new owners. Okay, so no media is really picking up on that. That was just a small little paper talking about it. Okay, so fast forward to Bill C-15. We were fighting it, and it got all fast-tracked because we were on their tail, I believe. And now it has passed the MPs, and it's also passed the Senate and has royal assent. So Bill C-15 is law in Canada, where all Canadian law has to be in adherence with UNDRIP now. And so what's going on is probably land claims, the politicians and the various groups working in there are, you know, silently slicing everything up and organizing things. And the only way that we can really stop it now is to elect a People's Party of Canada government, because we are the only ones that see the dangers of the UN encroachment into our lives. We see this as a neutron bomb, and we would definitely work towards repealing all of this, because this is not the way to deal with Indigenous affairs. See, what they're doing, the UN is doing, is using Indigenous issues in order to be able to bring in their system of government. Because one of the things they want to do is they want to impoverish everyone, bring them into a universal basic income type thing, and then to roll us into their UN Agenda 2030 that Stephen Harper and the Conservatives signed on to. You know, in this election, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, we just got to get Trudeau up," you know, because he's doing some crazy stuff, but really all he's doing is implementing the goals and objectives of UN Agenda 2030 that Stephen Harper and the Conservatives signed on to. So by voting for the Conservatives, all you're doing is just voting for the same system, really, right? Whereas the People's Party of Canada is not manipulated by the UN or controlled in any way. It's very much a free party. And we definitely will stand that down bring that down and fight for, you know, our freedoms, because to go ahead and to upset everything like this at this point in time is just going to cause huge anarchy. You know, we're talking about the lands underneath the cities, right? Vancouver and Toronto and people's private places that they paid for, businesses, everything. It's so huge and monstrous. It's the biggest untold story in Canada. So, you know, I appreciate you having me on to share with people, and any, you know, power players who are listening to this, you know, you need to get active, because this is in play right now, and then once everything's kind of doled out, it's going to be very difficult to roll it back. But that's basically it in a nutshell.
Is there a list somewhere of the members of Parliament and the Senate that voted for UNDRIP?
Yes, there is. I mean, you could just go ahead and do a search for that. You could just look up UNDRIP MP vote or Senate vote. And I did a couple of videos. It's on my YouTube channel. I think it's Meet the Destroyers of Canada. Now, one thing you have to know here is that the Conservatives, who are really not conservatives, I just, you know, shorten it and I call them the cons, they basically all voted against UNDRIP, okay, Bill C-15. But the thing you have to remember is why they did that. They didn't do it because our property rights would be taken away. They didn't take it because we won't be able to use our military on our land if we don't have approval from them. It won't be because of we're going to be under the UN Charter under Article 46. None of those things. It's because of Article 32.2 that says that the indigenous, you know, need to have free, prior, and informed consent. And I have a video there of the last debate in 2019 talking about this. And Andrew Scheer, he goes on talking about this is what we have to really figure out. What is this free, prior, and informed consent, you know, and blah, blah, blah. It's just basically theater to me to make it look like they are against us when really, in fact, it's just part of the UN Agenda 2030 plan that they signed on to. So don't be conned by the cons as far as, you know, the theater that goes on. So the thing you have to remember is that there's not one single MP, including Aaron O'Toole, who warned us about this, that you have this risk of losing your land rights in Canada. Even in the standing committee for Bill C-15, there was Arnold Beerson. He was one of the MPs, conservative MPs, and then there was Jamie Schmale as well. He was a vice chair. Now, in talking to them in private Zoom calls, which we appreciated that they did, I said to Arnold, I said, look, you know, look, I mean, this is such a monstrous bill. I mean, we're talking about losing our land rights. I mean, how come I don't see anything on your social media or your YouTube channel or nothing? I mean, you're not saying anything. And he says, well, sometimes things are better not said, you know. And I just, yeah, I couldn't believe it, you know. I guess I could believe it because I know what's going on in one sense. But there you have it, right? And then Jamie Schmale had lamented that no one in Canada knows about UNDRIP, you know. And I said, well, that's on you because you're the official opposition. I mean, you're the one supposed to be, you know, giving us, you know, the heads up. I mean, that's what you're paid to do. And, you know, he says, yeah, but we need help, you know. And then myself and Mark Friesen were on the Zoom call, and we talked afterwards. And, you know, Mark almost blew a gasket because we've been busting our butts for, you know, years now, you know, warning people about what's been going on and doing, talking out, you know, doing an MP's job and then some. And so, you know, that didn't sit well. And I looked at Jamie Schmale, you know, social media and YouTube. There's nothing with Michelle Rempel, nothing with Pierre Poilievre and all these guys. You know, it's nonsense, right? And so the biggest untold story is going on, and the Conservatives have completely left, you know, it out of the picture. And it's the PPC that's raising this stink and warning people, you know. And we're the only party that can actually, if we get voted in, and all it takes is for people to vote us in. If people realize that they're going to lose their rights to their properties, someone else is going to have a claim on it, then I think that we can form government. You know, it's just the issue of getting people to know about it, right?
Does Indigenous mean anyone born in Canada or a particular race?
Well, that's an interesting thing. You know, like when I read the UNDRIP document, I didn't see any definition for Indigenous. And I thought, well, the UN, since it's a UN, you know, globalist document, and this is going on, by the way, all over the world, all done behind the scenes. There was another fellow, I posted his video on my YouTube channel called Crossing the Rubicon. He is like me, giving the warning, a lone wolf type thing, about what's going on over there. And he got demonized in the media. He lost his job over it. He lost his marriage over it. Now he's left the country. He's been destroyed. And, anyhow, with this Indigenous thing, so I looked up the UN, and the UN, all they did, basically, that I could see was just cite someone else's definition of what it is, right? But on the standing committee, I had recorded it, and then there was Romeo Saganash. He was on there. Now, Romeo Saganash has been the lead guy in Canada pushing for this, because he had a private members bill in 2017, I believe, called 262, which is the same as Bill C-15, but it got killed because it had passed the MPs, but the senators were holding it off, and then the election came and it got killed. But anyhow, he was there, and then kudos to Arnold Beerson. I just give him the gears, but he also did something great, and that was he asked the question about what Indigenous is, right? Romeo Saganash said that there is no definition in the UNDRIP document of what Indigenous is, and also that the UN itself has no definition, and he's working for the UN now, as I understand it. So here you have 25 years of all the experts on the Indigenous subject making this kill shot with UNDRIP, and yet they don't have any definition of what Indigenous is. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. But when you understand what's really going on and the long run of this whole picture, it makes sense. Because ultimately, in the end, what they want to bring us into is that no one owns anything, like Klaus Schwab talks about that in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, that you'll own nothing and be happy. And it's just going to be something like that, where it's really the model is like South Africa, when we saw, you know, the issue of they're going in there and they're just stealing and looting out of these stores and also all of the distribution plants and whatever. And that's where it's going. It's going to be like, if you have a need for it, you can take it from others. And really that is another attack angle on our Western civilizations and how we have property rights and we have our freedoms and all these types of things. So, okay, so there's no definition of Indigenous. Now, with Bill C-15, what they've done, okay, is they've stated that, and it's not part of number 5, which is the real thrust of the bill, it does say that the Indigenous are defined as, and it goes to our charter, 35-2, and there it doesn't use the word Indigenous, it uses the word Aboriginal. It says the Aboriginal of Canada are the Indian, the Inuit, and the Métis, okay? So that's who, you know, right now will be worked with as far as divvying up Canada, as far as all of the different lands and territories. But really, I think that'll be challenged because the whole thrust of the bill is that all Canadian law will be in accordance with UNDRIP, which UNDRIP has no definition of Indigenous, right? And yeah, so it's quite a play that they're making, and no one's touching it, and I really want to get on major media so that we can warn people, because if Quebecers could realize that their land rights are up for grabs right now, I mean, you know, they'd say, Vive la Quebec, and they'd vote PPC, right? And then we can get in there and we can, you know, roll it back. But, so that's where we're at. There's no definition of Indigenous. I think it's by design. Oh, that's the other thing, is that if you look up in a law dictionary, Indigenous, basically what it says is that something born of the land. So, I mean, anyone can claim to be Indigenous, right? And in Article 36, it talks about how the Indigenous from another country can work with the Indigenous of another country, and they can also share in all of the different articles of UNDRIP. So here we have, you know, in Canada, we have the Global Compact on Migration, another UN hit piece on us, and that means that anyone can come into Canada and bypass our immigration system and be a migrant, and then we go ahead and take care of them, just like what's going on in Roxham Road in Quebec there. The RCMP say, you know, if you cross into Canada, it's an illegal act, and, you know, you'll be arrested or whatever. And then they come in, they do that, and then the RCMP are their bellhops, and then they're basically, I don't even think they say they're arrested. They just say it's an illegal act or something. And then they go and put them in hotels, you know, and we pay for them. And we're being flooded that way too right now. And that's all a part of this play. It's a multifaceted, multi-pronged attack on our Western civilization.
What do the native people think of this?
Well, I haven't had extensive contact, but I know that some see it for what it really is, and they don't like it at all. A person I know who's a native business owner, he said to me, I think it was 2018, he says, Ron, I'm way more connected than you are, and in, you know, 10 years, we're taking Canada back, you know, and it kind of threw me off guard. I didn't question it more, but now I know what he's talking about, because he knew back then that this is all going on behind the scenes, right? So the power players know what's going on. It's just the average person doesn't, and they won't know until it's actually the government isn't acting, you know, and they're stating, okay, now, you know, Vancouver is now the territory of such and such and such and such, and we're going to have to start paying more taxes or whatever to pay for the use of the land, and we're also going to have to pay reparation for the use of the land over the last, you know, 200 years or whatever it's been, 150 years, something like that. That's how it's going to roll out. from my view, I mean, it could be different, but yeah, so.
Doesn't the Queen officially own the land in Canada?
Well, from what I know, it is. So when you go and buy property, that you're just kind of like a steward of it, in a sense, but you can still buy and sell it. And it's a system that, you know, we've used all these years. Now, when you go ahead and give it to new owners, well, then there's new rules, right? So it brings in a whole bunch of uncertainty. I think it's going to absolutely destroy any kind of economic development in Canada because it's all up in the air and it's going to be in courts and challenged and it's just going to be a total, you know, gong show and nightmare. And that's all part of UN Agenda 2030 to reduce carbon emissions and to reduce our industrialized civilization. So everything will just be decimated and bankrupted in the meantime. So that's about that.
Who signed Canada onto Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030?
Yeah, Agenda 21, well, that's the UN agenda for the 21st century. See, I've been following this stuff since the mid-80s, and when I heard about that there's going to be an Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, I figured it's going to be a pretty big deal, and I didn't really research it that much back then. I mean, there wasn't really any internet. I was just kind of picking up what the news has been ringing, but well, Brian Mulroney went over there and he signed Canada onto it. I have some videos on UN Agenda 21. One in particular is a Australian MP, and she was talking about how she was, you know, skeptical of the naysayers of it, but then she looked into Agenda 21 and what they themselves were saying and what their plans were. And she was compelled to make, you know, risk her career and everything else to make that video. So it's worthwhile going down. If you go into my channel or whatever, just click on videos, and they'll be in a timeline of the newest being at the top. You just keep on scrolling down, and you'll see her at a podium. It's kind of dark a little bit, and it's called UN Agenda 21, UN Agenda 2030. But there's several videos on there that are worthwhile watching. But so it was Brian Mulroney who signed Canada onto it, and then when Stephen Harper got into power, he also signed onto it with their party. And then in September 27th, 2015, Stephen Harper and the Cons, they went ahead and signed onto it. And that was 1 month, you know, before the actual election date when Trudeau got in. So while all eyes are on that, they go ahead and do that. But the thing is that no MP is really talking about it. Now, when I ran in 2019, I ran against Bob Zimmer, and I brought up UN Agenda 2030 and UNDRIP, you know, back then it was Bill 262 and whatnot. And he really didn't want to talk about it. He was just kind of ignore it and talk about other stuff, right? And this is how it plays out. And this is why we have to replace the Liberals and the Conservatives, because they're basically, two wings of the same bird. And even you look at the NDP and the Bloc and the Greens, they're all UN globalist, you know, entities in the sense of promoting and forwarding that whole thing. And that is just an attack on our whole system of, of our nation. So that's who signed on to it. And Maxime Bernier actually was there at the time. And so Maxine had a show and we could write in questions, and then so my question was brought in there, and I says, okay, you were there, Maxine, you know, what in the world was going on? Why did you guys sign on to this? And he said something like, well, basically it was Stephen Harper and the foreign affairs minister who were working on that file, and then so everyone has their files and their stuff they're working on, you know, they're pretty busy. So they have their caucus meeting, and then Stephen Harper would come in there and say, okay, here's this thing called UN Agenda 2030, you know, and it's rainbows and lollipops, and there's 17 points to Agenda 2030. And you have to look at it, when you read it, it's basically the ultimate political doublespeak. So when you really know what's going on behind the scenes, you'll see another side to the whole thing. But it kind of reads like a communist manifesto. Number 10 says that they want rich people and rich nations poor, and poor people and poor nations richer. So it's all about the redistribution of wealth. And this is where the carbon tax comes into, because that's what it is. It's a redistribution of wealth. And there's many other schemes that are in play to, you know, take our money and send it other places. Like, right now, we're, you know, whether it's the Liberals or the Conservatives, they'll probably spend around $20 billion a year, and they'll send it to other countries and dictatorships and whatever to fight climate change. So I don't know if if a dictatorship receives a helpful pile of money from Canada, I don't think they'll be spending on climate change myself. But so that's what's going on, and that's where we're at. And people just have to realize that voting for the Conservatives to get Trudeau out is basically voting for Trudeau in. I mean, it's just, or the UN really is what it is.
Why do you think two Conservative prime ministers would sign Canada into these nightmare agendas?
Well, I mean, they're UN globalists, just simple as that. The thing that people have to realize with politicians is you can't go by what they say or don't say. You have to go by what they do or don't do, because they're always going to go ahead and say something to get you to be on side with them, but then they're going to end up, you know, doing something else, right? Just like Jason Kenney here in Alberta, he would say, you know, something, you know, about he's not going to go ahead and do lockdowns, and then, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, he's doing it. Or you got Doug Ford, you know, saying that, you know, he just doesn't want to see, you know, a segregated society with vaccine passports. And then not even, 3 weeks after that, now he's, you know, going ahead and doing it, right? So it's all theater and con, you know, and manipulation. So you have to go by what you see them doing or don't doing, right? Because that'll tell you what's really going on. And so, yeah, the UN globalists, they're forwarding UN Agenda 2030. And they're just playing it so that they look like they're just conservative. There's nothing conservative in the Conservative Party but the name. A lot of people are calling the CPC the corrupt party of Canada or the control party of Canada, and some go as far as to say that it's the Communist Party of Canada because they're the ones who signed on to these, you know, communist manifestos, basically.
Is UNDRIP just in Canada?
Well, right now, we're the canary in the coal mine. I mean, we're the ones who are, you know, who brought it into law now as a country. Australia is working on it, New Zealand. It's everywhere. It's all over the world. It's all done behind the scenes. That's the whole thing. Like, no one would really know about UNDRIP in Canada unless, you know, someone like me got up there and started, you know, yelling it from the rooftops, right? And now a lot of people have learned about it and the consequences of it. But it's still very small potatoes. I mean, the average person has no clue. But with this election, hopefully we can get the word out because we have a platform. And if the candidates start talking about it and media picks up on it, we might, you know, be able to get through there. But, you know, the media is highly controlled, as we all know. So we'll see. I mean, I'm going to be sending out flyers to the constituents and talking about it. So if there's some heavy hitters that can pick up on it and start, you know, raising a stink, then we can, you know, get people to start to know about it.
Is this one of those steps in a genocide, taking people's property?
Well, I mean, you know, when they do genocides, typically what they do is they demonize the person first or the group, right? I mean, that's what Hitler did. They'd have they'd have a radio in every home, and then they start demonizing them, and they'd have their propaganda films, you know, showing them as being rats and vermin. And you go and look at the genocide with the Tutsis right there in, what's the country again? You might know. But I just had a Freudian slip on that. But anyhow, I mean, you know, they're teaching that one people group have big brains, the other ones have little brains, and then they're on the radio talking about their cockroaches and stuff like that. So when you demonize people like that, then it's easier to go ahead and do, you know, the genocide, because you're not really dealing with a human being. And now we have this whole thing with the white privilege, right, and, you know, entitlement and everything else like that, and that they've done all these bad things. So the Europeans, in a sense, are being, and the Europeans coming in Canada and whatever, we're being actually demonized right now. So the groundwork is being laid out for a genocide, in my view. Now, the removal of people's lands, I mean, that can be maybe an attack angle to it, you know, but it's not directly, you know, a genocide, but it's definitely not good. But I think it all plays into it. It's a multi-pronged attack. whenever you do warfare, what you want to do is you want to use, you know, tremendous speed and tremendous force. And I think when things start, you know, when things, the Great Reset happens and everything else like that ties into it, it's going to be like a overwhelming force on us. But definitely genocide is not too far, too strong a word. Just like, you know, Trudeau, he commissioned that report on the murdered and missing Indigenous women. And in there, they call it an imperialistic genocide. So when you start using the word genocide like that, then the UN can step in, right? You know, and so if it's an imperialistic genocide, then maybe, you know, it might flip the other way, you know. But it really wasn't. It's just a manipulated report. It's all another attack angle on this. Another attack angle would be the truth and reconciliation that they're doing right now. Because South Africa did that truth and reconciliation for, what, the 15 years they did it, or maybe longer. And then the defense minister said, we've had enough of truth and reconciliation. Now is the time for justice. Now, that justice is a UN globalist word. That means, you know, big stuff. You know, it's not just a simple little word, right? So what they did to have their justice is to have their constitution changed, and so that the black people are able to take away the property of the white farmers, right? And so now they're talking about, you know, Aboriginal justice or climate justice, all these types of things. These are very serious words, because it's going to have serious repercussions. Like the climate justice, for example, is the redistribution of the wealth from the rich nations to the poor nations, because we've caused them so much harm by driving our cars, you know. So, yeah.
Is Canada currently being run by a foreign entity or entities?
It's run by the protocols of the UN, for sure. And this is demonstrated actually with Romeo Saganash again, in the sense of, we were talking about, that issue of what is Indigenous, and he went on to say that, the Supreme Court of Canada has been making, decisions for a long time now based on UNDRIP, right? And in UNDRIP, I should actually read it here, I'll just, to make sure that people, number 46 states that, flipping my pages open. I don't have that one memorized, but totally. It says, nothing in this declaration, which is under, may be interpreted as implying for any state, people, group, or person any right to engage in any activity or to perform any act contrary, drumroll, to the Charter of the United Nations. So the United Nations Charter is basically, you know, put front and center here. And what we have are the complicit and corrupt politicians in Ottawa, essentially most of them or all of them, going along with all of this stuff. And they're the ones who are enacting and putting forward all of these different laws and things, all the way down to, you know, mayors and council members, like in Tumbler Ridge in BC, where I ran in the last election. They went ahead and made it a UNESCO heritage site. Or no, a geopark, a UNESCO geopark, because they have dinosaur prints and all kinds of neat stuff over there. And so like 9,000 hectares of land, I think, or acres, I forget, is now part of that, you know, UN control under UNESCO, in a sense, right? And we were there, and they showed a video of this whole geopark, and you would have thought the UN made the birds and the bees and the flowers and the mountains. I mean, yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. So, yeah, it's definitely the UN is on the march. And the thing to remember for people is, you know, because we've been told in school that the UN's a great thing, but there's 150 nations in the UN, you know, including places like Cuba and China, who are against our way of life, our freedoms, our, you know, constitution and charter of rights and the way we operate our society. And so it's not just all, you know, roses there with the UN. There's many, many nations and dictatorships that do not like our way of life. And so it's highly probable and easy to see that we would be under attack, you know, by their measures that our politicians are implementing upon us. Now, the PPC, we would go ahead and look at all these different UN things that are going on, and we would withdraw from all the ones that are, you know, harming our country. One would be the Paris Accord as well. You know, that's absolutely decimating all of our, you know, natural resource industries and coal and energy. And you got the conservatives saying, you know, like, you know, we're against the carbon tax, but the whole thing is that they, Andrew Scheer, when he, won the leadership race against, Maxime Bernier, the first thing he did is he had everyone vote in favor of the Paris Accord. So the Paris Accord, they want to have the emissions, to be 30% less than in 2005 by 2030. So the only way you can do that is by shutting and dismantling everything, you know, the CO2 output and maybe, you know, some carbon capture stuff and what they're doing there. But ultimately, it's just a reduction of our whole society. And that's going on right now with the COVID measures and the lockdowns and the destruction of family businesses. It's all a part of this thing. It's all a part of the play. And since we were talking there about, you know, Andrew Scheer, it's interesting to note for those who still have any faith in the controlled or corrupt party of Canada, when they had that leadership race, Maxime Bernier was leading all the way through, and then at the very last, Andrew Scheer beats him by 1%. The thing is that there were 7,466 extra votes cast that night than members. And so they said, well, let's do a recount here because, you know, what's up with the 1% and then this extra 7,000 votes? But they had already destroyed the ballots that night. Now, Maxime Bernier hasn't made a big stink about it. I think he should have made he should have gone on national TV about it. But he stayed on and was quietly working with them for 8 months, and he was hoping that Andrew Scheer would use part of his party platform that he ran on, and he said he won't have any of it. Even though one of the items was, like, when Maxime Bernier brought up he was balanced the budget in 2 years in a leadership race, Andrew Scheer echoed that and said he'll do the same, right? But there you go, you know, that Andrew Scheer is saying afterwards, he says, I'm not having any of it. And that included that promise that he had made. So that's how they roll, right? They'll promise you something and then they'll roll it back. And this is why people are so fed up with the political class. It's just so corrupt and, you know, they just manipulate people and it's just, they're not for us. They're actually many times against us. And so, there is hope now with the PPC because the candidates are just like myself. They're informed citizens who are fed up with seeing what the corruption and the manipulation going on. And really, all people have to do is realize, look, this is for all the marbles now. We've got a total dictatorship coming in there with these, you know, Nazi-style show-me-your-papers society that they're bringing us into. And there's a whole host of other things that are going to come on. And then they're going to have climate lockdowns coming up that are even more draconian and worse than what we've already experienced. We just had the warm-up rally. And so people have to realize what's going on. You can't play it safe with this election. They got to go all in or nothing. I mean, the only all in is for the PPC. And I'm not saying that because I'm running for the PPC. I'm saying that because that's just the reality of the situation that we're in.
When you said shut down everything at the height of the COVID crisis in China, a year ago, when all of their industry and traffic was shut down, no one was allowed on streets, satellite images showed their emissions only were reduced by 15%. How are we supposed to meet these impossible goals?
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, they're back to normal in many ways. They were for a while there. I don't know where they're at now. But
I'm just saying everything was shut down. No traffic, no factories.
Oh, I know.
And it was only 15%. In other words, this is such an impossible goal, an artificial goal.
Well, the whole thing is that China is exempt from all of this, right? And really, China is a model where all the world is heading into. And, you know, this health pass basically is a precursor for the social credit pass that they have over there, where if you're a good citizen, you'll get points, and if you're not, you'll be deleted points, and you might not be able to drive, or you might not be able to take transit if you're, you know, bad, or you might just be, you know, shut out of society. Like we're going to be here right away. Like, if we're not going along with their program, then we're going to be shut out of, you know, the marketplace, right? And possibly even going to grocery stores like in France. I think by October 1st, people won't be able to go into grocery stores. They'll have to have it like takeout or something. So it's just, you know, it's all part of the same thing. As far as meeting those emissions, I mean, they're like the 2050 emissions are even more draconian. They want to bring it to zero human, you know, CO2 emissions, I mean, which is impossible. But that's the whole play, right? I mean, the whole con of the CO2, man-made CO2 creating all these problems is so that they can control every human being and every aspect of humanity, because everything we do is about CO2. We exhale CO2. You know, when we go ahead and warm our homes with natural gas, I mean, it's CO2. All of these things, you know, and it's just the ultimate play. And unfortunately, so many people have been, you know, have bought into the propaganda. It's just tremendous propaganda. And if you stand against it, you better be pretty brave, you know. I remember when I was in Prince George and at the university, it was a debate, and the question was a loaded question. They say that, you know, what is your party planning to do about climate change, since all of the scientists agree that, you know, man-made climate change is our threat, you know. and I, you know, said, no, I mean, that's not the case and whatever. And then people just started laughing at me. It was a big auditorium. And but then I, you know, showed them that, look, you know, there was a court case recently, and it was just about a month before that was settled. And it was between Michael Mann, of Penn State University, who created the hockey stick chart that Al Gore used in his presentation and has been touted everywhere, and a guy named Tim Ball. He's a climatologist over in Manitoba, Canadian guy. And so what happened was Tim Ball had made a comment, social media comment, that Michael Mann shouldn't be at Penn State University. He should be in the state pen because of his fraudulent chart. And so that went on for almost 10 years, that court case. It's worth, you know, $1 million or whatever. And then Michael Mann wasn't willing to subject his math or his charting or whatever to the courts in order to prove, you know, that it's not fraudulent. So here you go. I mean, and now he had to go and pay, you know, Tim Ball $1 million for all of the costs that were incurred and everything. So that, you know, that tells you a lot. So I said that to the people, and they kind of quieted down or whatever. But it's all this whole thing. It's really to bring in, you know, a world dictatorship of total and absolute control over every aspect of our society. And UNDRIP is just another angle on that. And what the indigenous people have to realize is that they are being used for this play. And it won't go well for them, you know, down the road, because ultimately in the end, it's going to be that, it's going to be more anarchy than, you know, than that, because it's going to be wide open as who's indigenous and whatnot.
We'll have more with Ron Valent right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ron Valent. Ron, why does Trudeau want our guns?
For the same reason every other government wanted guns, so that they can have their way with the people. And the way things are going, I mean, just look at how people are protesting Trudeau in his campaign. You know, it's amazing someone hasn't, you know, done something dramatic, you know, because they're very upset. And so they want the armaments or whatever. I mean, it just basically even goes back to the UN, because the UN has their small arms treaty, and they basically want to disarm the individual. They want to disarm the police forces. That's why we have this whole, you know, Black Lives Matter thing of defunding the police, right? That's all just another front group in order to bring on this whole thing. And so, you know, you get cities like Calgary, they went ahead and, you know, they were going to defund the police and stuff. And then ultimately what it'll be citizens that'll work with the UN that'll be the police, you know. And then they want, you know, nation states to dismantle their military, and then, or the control of their military. You know, they probably keep the military, but the control of it would be under UN rule. So really, it's the blue hats would have total, you know, ultimate sway. And so when a population is unarmed and unable to fight back, well, then these tyrannical governments can have their way. So, you know, if people just have their eyes open, they can absolutely see it. Sometimes people do see it, especially, you know, those with firearms, you know, because it's not the Canadian citizen with a firearm that's the problem at all, right? It's the criminals running around with them. And actually, here's an interesting point, you know, just talking about firearms, and that is, you know, rural crime has really exploded, 30% or whatever, and I know people who've been robbed and stuff. And then you have, like in Alberta, you have Blaine Cawkins, the Conservative MP. He went around doing this big dog and pony show. He went all around Alberta. They're having town hall meetings talking about this problem and what are the solutions and everything else like that, wasting tons of taxpayers' money on it. And really, I mean, all it takes is a little bit of common sense to figure out this, you know, the problem and the solution. But anyhow, he came back saying we got to put more money into the RCMP, which is just not going to do anything because, you know, the RCMP can't be, you know, like everywhere, and it's going to take too much time, you know, like, so what you have to do is you have to go to the source of the problems. And this is what these people do. They don't go to the source of the problems. The source of the problems is you got these people who are robbing stuff, right? One would be because, someone's desperate because they basically have been shut out of their work because their oil patch job has been killed because of the Paris Accord and these, complicit and corrupt politicians shutting everything down. And, so now they're desperate. And, so then they go and do something like that. Or there's the other person who's just a selfish person who's, he's always milked off other people. And they just, you know, go ahead and they have no regard for other people and just go ahead and act selfishly and steal. So the way to solve the problem is that you bring back the economy and you bring back the jobs so that those who, you know, might have stolen because of need won't have to do that. They don't want to go ahead and steal, but, you know, people get desperate. And so that'll solve a big portion of the problem. The other problem are the people who are the career, criminals, and they know that, basically the law is on their side because, you know, the average farmer or a rural property owner can't really do anything about it because, you know, even there was a case there where a guy went and gave a warning shot, and he's the one who got penalized, you know. Like, I mean, so what the People's Party, through Paul Mitchell, he wrote a couple private members' bills that we would bring in. One would be to amend the criminal code, and that would be to allow if people do defend their property, if someone comes onto their property and they defend someone stealing a quad or whatever, that they have the right to defend it, you know, and that includes using their firearms. And then the other issue would be that to allow, you know, right now that everything has to be under lock and key and whatnot, but to allow property owners to have, you know, loaded firearms, you know, not with the trigger locks and all this other kind of stuff, but it's all ready to go, you know. You're not going to be running all over this, you know, outside of your property with it. But you can have, you know, a loaded gun at the door if you needed to, you know, and then it'll be your responsibility to make sure that no one in the house, you know, like the kids or whatever, you know, don't mess around with it, you know. And that's what the People's Party is about. Like, you know, our fundamental principles are, we want maximum freedom for people. We want big government out of your lives. But coming with that freedom is responsibility. I mean, you don't want to harm others and you want to be responsible. So, if you're going to have the freedom to have, you know, a loaded firearm on there, you're going to also have to be responsible with it too, right? And then there's fairness and respect. And so there you go. I mean, it's all theater, you know, like Blaine Cawkins running around doing all this theater and coming up with just, you know, a silly little crazy answer. I mean, you could double the RCMP and they still wouldn't be able to solve the problem. And then if you have these career criminals, if they know that if they go on someone's property to go and steal something or whatever, that it might be the last thing they do, you know, they're going to, you know, think twice about it, absolutely. And it'll empower the homeowners, too, to feel more confident that they can go ahead and live on their property unmolested.
If we don't stand up and put an end to the globalists' plans, what do you think the year 2030 could look like?
Well, it's not going to be good, you know. Klaus Schwab said, "You'll own nothing and be happy." They, you know, the people who created UN Agenda 2030, they said that these are, you know, really ambitious goals and radical. You know, it's, And if you just go by and do a cursory read of it, you won't think much of it. You know, it's you know, rainbows and lollipops. But, you know, look what's going on. Open your eyes and see, you know, why is it that we have this issue of, essential services and non-essential services, right? And it's all being played with the issue of COVID, right? Well, in Manitoba and even in Ontario, in the stores, they were making it so that you couldn't even, if you went into a Walmart, that large sections of the Walmart were taped off. You couldn't go buy, you know, like clothes for your baby and stuff like that, because that's non-essential. And what's essential, you know? And so this whole thing is being set up in the, make it in people's minds that we have essential and non-essential. Well, really, it's all essential. It all has to do with life. But it's going to play into the climate lockdowns that we're going to have with essential and non-essential. And they're just going to bring it down so that we won't be able to buy the things that we used to buy. You know, the essential items are going to be food and water, maybe, right? And the non-essential, I mean, they'll probably just provide for us. You won't just be able to freely buy. And that's the reason why I have all these, supply chain lockdown or breakdowns and stuff. I mean, it's all being done right before our very eyes, and it's just going to continue on. It's not going to go back to normal. I mean, people think that, but you have the World Health Organization. You know, Tedros, that guy, the communist there. He says, well, things won't go back to normal, and Klaus Schwab saying the same thing, and you know, different politicians saying that. And it's not going to go back to normal, you know, from their agenda, right? Unless we are able to fight back and, you know, change it. So if people want to stem the tide, they got to go ahead and get active in this election, because it's for all the marbles. Now, you know, there's a whole thing of fraud in the election, too. We're going to have to see what we can do to counter that. But all we can do is what we can do, I suppose. So Agenda 2030, yeah, I mean, every aspect of our lives will be controlled. We'll be impoverished. We'll be under the control.
Is UNDRIP in motion in BC and Alberta?
Well, it is behind the scenes. BC is ahead of the rest of Canada by 3 years. And I talked to one person who said that there was a band that they knew, and they were dividing up the whole, you know, Fraser Valley. Right. I mean, they're making plans for the whole Fraser Valley that they, you know, in their kind of jurisdiction area there. And so that's going on, but people don't know about it. So, yeah, it's absolutely going on in D.C. It's quietly done. And soon what's going to happen is people are going to realize that the Crown land will have new owners. And then eventually what's going to happen is it'll be all of D.C. will be given over to new owners. And that's going on quietly now in all of Canada. And there's just few of us voices sounding the alarm, so people need to get on to learning about this. Actually, if they go onto my YouTube channel, I did a video. I was in Kamloops there. It's a 5-minute video. It's, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it looks like a cell phone video, like a portrait video style. And if you go and take that and share it everywhere, then try and, you know, wake people up, your neighbors and your friends and whatnot, and say, look, this is really going on. And I give, you know, where you can go and look for, you know, proof of this and stuff. And, yeah, so absolutely it's going on.
If Western Canada separated, would UNDRIP still be in effect?
Well, no, I wouldn't think so. I mean, when you create a new entity, then you're calling the shots of what's going on. But the problem with separation, because, you know, when I ran in 2019, I gave that my last shot for Canada, because really, you know, we see that Eastern Canada is voting and thinking completely different than Western Canada. So, you know, I could see how separation was a viable option, but it's fraught with problems too, because you might need combat boots in order to defend that position. That's the whole thing, because, they want to have control over things. So, like, you look at Omar, is it Omar Gaddafi? Yeah, I think so, of Libya, right? He wanted to create, an African currency, and you know, he had 120 tons of gold and 120 tons of silver, something like that. And he was going to create this new currency, and then you had, Hillary Clinton saying, you know, that Omar Gaddafi, he's a bad actor and a dictator, and, you know, we got to go and deal with him, right? And then you had Stephen Harper sending our fighter jets over there blowing up the country. And you know, and that gold and silver, no one talks about, I'm sure it's gone. But, I mean, like him or hate him, he was actually doing some great stuff with the people. I mean, when you got married, you got, you know, a lot of money, and you got, you know, time to the honeymoon, and the oil and gas was super cheap, and I think there was free education, all sorts of things. But now it's a hellhole, you know, and you have the radical Islamists in there, you know, running things, and there's human slavery and trafficking going on. And then that ended up becoming the migration route into Europe now, right? Because they would go ahead and they go on boats and they go over to Italy, then they'd go about 20% there, and then the NGO operations, different companies would go and they'd have their boats and they'd go and pick them up, and then they'd bring them into Italy, and millions of people or whatever, hundreds of thousands are going into Europe that way. And it's all part of a UN, you know, Agenda 2030 again, in order to have the redistribution of wealth and have these people, you know, brought into a higher standard of living by flooding into Europe, right? So a lot of things went on there, and you had Stephen Harper and the cons, they went right along with it, you know? And, yeah, so the thing is that the MPs who are part of the Conservative Party, and really all the other MPs, they just kind of clued out as to what really the big agenda is. You know, they don't know, and so they're just going along with it. And the ones who do know, I mean, they're the ones who are the corrupt ones. And yeah, so yeah, that's about it, I guess.
If someone is in the market to buy a home in Canada, does UNDRIP bring risk where their home could be taken away from them?
Actually, I'd say yes to that on a certain level. But really what it is, okay, number 26 says that they have the rights to the lands and territories. Territories, I think, would be the waterways and stuff. But they have the rights to the land. So that means that, you know, if you have a house there, if someone wants to go ahead and just, you know, move in on your property, they would have the right to do it. And actually, there's a video with David Menzies, and he's in Toronto, right at City Hall. And then they had a circle of people sit, you know, camping there, squatting there with their tents. And the mayor, he didn't do anything about it, and they just let him do that. And they could have actually just pushed him off easily, you know. But the David Menzies and anyone else who kind of were investigating or even opposing it, they're the ones who were trespassed off the property. And David Menzies is talking to one of the leaders there, and it's a woman, and she doesn't look like she's, you know, Native American. She looks like she's, you know, maybe somewhat African. And she says, you know, this is my indigenous land, and these are my indigenous people. You know, you have to respect us, you know. And the average person will look at that and say, you know, this lady is a wingnut, you know. But really, that's the way it's going to be, you know. Like, I mean, when they talk about indigenous, it's not just a group. It can be an individual, too, right? And so you're going to have all kinds of anarchy there. Now, as far as, so it's for the land, you know, and so let's say all of Calgary gets claimed and all the land is new owners, you know, they're not going to go ahead and start taking houses off there. And, you know, it's just be, you know, people would be war, you know, but maybe in northern Alberta, there might be some, you know, little outposts, little towns or whatever. And they'll say, well, or Linton, you know, Linton, B.C. type of thing, you know. No, we don't want to rebuild that because, you know, it's on our territory, and no, it doesn't work for us, you know. That can definitely happen. So there is a risk that way as far as, you know. There was someone was talking to me. There was some people who had leased some native land or whatever, and the thing came up for renewal, and they had built on it and everything, and they said, well, time's up. No, we don't want to go ahead and renew, and that's it. And then they end up, you know, losing their home. So it's definitely something that can happen, absolutely. But primarily it's going to be the land and the waterways.
Does the climate change narrative play into UNDRIP?
Well, not so much directly. It's just another attack angle. I mean, look at it this way. You got UN Agenda 21 as a great big, you know, umbrella over everything for the 21st century. And then below that would be UN Agenda 2030 that we're facing right now. And then as pillars underneath that supporting it are all these other UN kill shots to us. The Paris Climate Accord is one. The Global Compact on Migration is another one, right? The redistribution of wealth is another one. UNDRIP is another pillar underneath there, and these types of things. And so they're not maybe directly tied to each other, but they're part of the same arsenal that's against our society and our way of life.
Could the signing of and implementation of Agendas 21 and 30 be considered treason against Canada?
I suppose in some ways. But the thing is, like, okay, if you go ahead and look at, again, you know, Article 46 of UNDRIP talking about how nothing, no people group or party can go against basically the United Nations Charter, you know, that could probably be construed as, you know, an issue of threatening our society. But it's been so sophisticated and, you know, nicely done that it might be hard to do that. But I can see a case for it as well.
Do you think there's hope for Canada, or at least Western Canada?
Pretty dire right now, I must say. I mean, with Western Canada, with the separation, okay, you got the Maverick Party going and talking about separation. Now, that's a federal party, and they have no jurisdiction as far as being able to make Alberta independent. So they're just basically a protest vote party that, you know, it's not even worthwhile considering. If people want to separate in Alberta, they'd have to go with the Alberta Advantage Party or the Wild Rose. But if you go and separate, you know, it's fraught with, you know, with problems with Ottawa and what they've set up there to go ahead and separate. They've made it almost impossible. So you're going to have to kind of just unilaterally just say we're doing it. But then, you know, now you're talking, you know, maybe military action. So whereas with the People's Party of Canada, if you just simply vote for the People's Party of Canada, then we can go ahead and dismantle a lot of this at our own risk, as you know, because we'll be, you know, in the crosshairs dismantling this stuff. But if we can get into power, we could start to dismantle what they've been creating. And but that's fraught with problems too, because then, you know, Libya was invaded too, right? So we, you know, it but it's less of an issue than Alberta separating or the Western provinces. Yeah, so there's a problem there. And yeah, the hope that we have right now is a very slim hope, and that is for Canadians to realize the times that we're in and the seriousness of this election, and that voting for any of the establishment parties is voting for our basic destruction as a society and as a nation, and to go all in and promote and support and bring the PPC in, the People's Party of Canada, and then we can start to go ahead and deal with these issues. And to, like I talked to Maxine a couple days ago, and in regards to this, and I said, what about rolling back this Bill C-15? He says, absolutely. You know, if we're in power, we can go and do that and roll it back and, you know, do it before it's too far along, right? Because as we wait longer and all, you know, it's all divvied up and it's all entrenched, you know, like a tree, right? You get a tree when it's young, you can bend it and do all kinds of stuff, but when it's 30 years old, I mean, it's pretty tough. You have to cut it down, right? So, yeah, it's better to do it when it's still early and early in the bud, right? Nip it in the bud. So, yeah, so that's where we're at. People, you know, if you value your way of life at all, get onto this. And that five-minute video that I made on UNDRIP, go and share with everyone you can on your social media and start talking about it and say, why haven't the politicians told us? You know, if you're in a conservative riding, single out BMP that's being reelected there, and why didn't he say it, you know, and the other cons, or you're in a liberal riding, the same thing, because they're all going along with it too. And, you know, social media, we can use it to our advantage, and it can go like wildfire. So we need digital warriors right now to start warning people. Also, I have my flyer. I'm just trying to think of how people can get a hold of my flyer. I have it on my Facebook. My Facebook is open. Anyone can go and look at anything in there. So you don't have to friend me to go and look and see what's in there. It's not a private thing. And I do have it in there if you want to go and look around. And you can get those .pdf, or actually they're JPEGs on there. And you can go ahead and start sharing that around too.
Where can people follow you, and how can they find out more about your campaign?
Okay, well, I mean, I'm on the YouTube. That's my main platform. And so that is just under my name, Ron Vaillant, V-A-I-L-L-A-N-T. And make sure to click the videos button, and it'll be all in order. Then I'm also on Facebook under Ron Vaillant as well, and then on Twitter. Although Twitter gets a lot less action than Facebook. Facebook actually gets the most action of any of the platforms, but it was the YouTube channel that really kind of went well, and a lot of people are watching it. Had some viral videos there for sure. Other than that, I'd say go and look at the People's Party of Canada.ca website and go look at our party platform. We just posted one on the COVID measures, and it's completely opposite of what everyone else is doing and saying. So read it, and you'll rejoice to see what we're up to. And then to go ahead and to start promoting that. Start promoting the party platform in your social media and the video I was talking about. And I also have a latest talk from Max, and he was in Alberta here. And that's an hour-long video, but it basically spells things out really well. And get active, people, because we have a very short window here. And if we can overwhelm the voting system, then it'd be very hard to corrupt it, right? In my riding, the Conservative MP is Tom Kimiak, and he won by 75%, and the Liberals were, and everyone else is down to 8, 6, and 4% or whatever. But, I'm doing a good campaign here with the signs are doing very well. They're equal to, to what's being done. And in fact, I had my signs up a week before anyone else. And hopefully we can get our flyers into the mail here right away. And we'll be covering half of the area. We don't have the funds to cover the entire area. That's $12,000. And that's the other thing, too, is to go and support your local candidate. They have had their bank account set up. You can go ahead and donate to them, and it takes money to do this, and that's the problem is the funds have been tough, especially the first go around, and we just can't get the voice out, and we're being blockaded by the media, and Maxime Bernier is being shut out again into the leadership debate. So we have to go ahead and use our social media platforms and raise the awareness. It's do or die, people, because if we don't get in, people are talking about leaving Canada. I know people who've left Canada already, but really there's no place to go because this is a worldwide thing. And so we got to stand our ground here and defend it.
Ron, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been Ron Vaillant. He's a candidate for the People's Party of Canada in Calgary Southeast. If you have any questions for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.